ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter Number 10, Chapter entitled Maharaj Rahugana Meets Jodhabharat, Text Number 21. Drishta Shama Karmata Atmana Vain Drishtakshamak Karmata Atmano Vain Drishtakshamak Karmata Atmano Vain Bhartur Gantur Bhavatas Chanumanye Bhartur Gantur Bhavatas Chanumanye Bhartur Gantur Bhavatas Chanumanye Yata Asata Uda Anayana Adi Abhavad Yata Sato Dananayadya Bhavad Yata Sato Dananayadya Bhavad Yata Sato Dananayadya Bhavad Samula Ishto Vyavahara Marga Samula Ishto Vyavahara Marga Samula Ishto Vyavahara Marga Drishtakshama Karmata Atmano Vai Bhartur Gantur Bhavatas Chanumanye Yata Sato Dhanayanadya Bhavad Samula Ishto Vyavahara Marga Drishtakshama Karmata Atmano Vai Bhartur Gantur Bhavatas Chanumanye Yata Sato Dhanayanadhya Bhavat Samula Ishto Vyavahara Marga Drishtakshama Karmata Atmano Vai Bhartur Gantur Bhavatas Chanumanye Yata Sato Dhanayanadya Bhavat Samula Ishto Vyavahara Marga Drishtakshama Karmata Atmano Vai Bhartur Gantur Bhavatas Chanumanye Yata sato dānayanādya bhāvād samulishto vyavahāra mārga drishtakshama karmata atmanovai bhartur gantur bhavatashchanumanye yata sato dānayanādhya bhāvāt samulishto vyavahāra mārga. Matajis? Drishta, it is experienced by everyone. Shramaha, fatigue. Karmata, from acting in some way. Atmana, of the soul. Vai, indeed. Bhartuhu, of one who is carrying the palanquin. Gantu, of one who is moving. Bhavata, of yourself. Cha, and. Anumanye, I guess like that. Yata, as much as. Asata, with something that is not an actual fact. Uda, of water. Anayana adi, of the bringing, and other such tasks. Abhava, from the absence. Samula, based on evidence. Ishta, respected. Vyavahara marga, phenomenon. Translation. You have said, this is Maharaj Rahugana speaking. You have said, I am not fatigued from labor. Although the soul is different from the body, there is fatigue because of bodily labor. And it appears to be the fatigue of the soul. When you are carrying the palanquin, there is certainly labor for the soul. This is my conjecture. You have also said that the external behavior exhibited between the master and the servant is not factual. But although in the phenomenal world it is not factual, the products of the phenomenal world can actually affect things. That is visible and experienced. As such, even though material activities are impermanent, they cannot be said to be untrue. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a discussion on impersonal Mayavad philosophy and the practical philosophy of Vaishnavas. The Mayavad philosophy explains this phenomenal world to be false. But Vaishnava philosophers do not agree. They know that the phenomenal world is a temporary manifestation, but it is not false. A dream that we see at night is certainly false, but a horrible dream certainly affects the person seeing it. The soul's fatigue is not factual. But as long as one is immersed in the illusory bodily conception, one is affected by such false dreams. When dreaming, it is not possible to avoid the actual facts. And the conditioned soul is forced to suffer due to his dream. A water pot is made of earth and is temporary. Actually, there is no water pot. There is simply earth. However, as long as the water pot can contain water, we can use it in that way. It cannot be said to be absolutely false. Om agyana tamarandhasya gyanan jana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano bhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam darati svaparantikam namah om vishnu padaya krishna prestaya bhutale shrimati bhakti vedanta swami nityanamane namaste sarasati deva gauravani pracharane nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya desha tarane. Drishtak shramak karmata atmano vai bhartur gantur bhavatash chanumanye gyatasato dana nayanadya bhavat samula ishto vyavahara margaha. You have said, I am not fatigued from labor. Although the soul is different from the body, there is fatigue because of bodily labor. And it appears to be the fatigue of the soul. When you are carrying the palanquin, there is certainly labor for the soul. This is my conjecture. You have also said that the external behavior exhibited between the master and the servant is not factual. But although in the phenomenal world it is not factual, the products of the phenomenal world can actually affect things. That is visible and experienced. As such, even though material activities are impermanent, they cannot be said to be untrue. So we're very fortunate today to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the Association of Pure Devotees of the Lord. So the conversation between Maharaj Rahugana and Jadabharat is continuing here. Initially there was Maharaj Rahugana spoke sarcastically to Jadabharat, and Jadabharat didn't say anything. And then Maharaj Rahugana spoke directly, chastising him. And Jadabharat objected and spoke some very high philosophy, quickly, just short piece of high philosophy. And Maharaj Rahugana, he's actually a devotee. He was being carried in a palanquin to go to Kapilashrama to hear Harikatha. So he's very much eager to hear. That was his mood in going, to hear some spiritual katha. So when he hears some high philosophy being spoken by this person that he thought was deaf and dumb originally, Then he became astonished, and he immediately got down from the palanquin, offered his obeisances, and began to discuss philosophy. So when one understands that one has come in contact with a great spiritual personality, some realized personality, then one should inquire submissively from that personality. Tadvini pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Upadekshanti te jnanam jnananas tattvadarshanah. Bhagavad Gita explains. One should approach the truth by, one should learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master and inquiring submissively. So, Maharaj Rahugana is showing the ideal disciple here. He's inquiring submissively. So one may say, this word anumanya is there. Anumanya. So how is that a submissive inquiry? Anumanya means according to one's mind, according to one's idea, according to one's thinking. So here, Maharaj Rahugana, he's putting forth his own conception before Jadabharat. Why is that? Why should one go to a spiritual master and put forth one's own conception? Now, this is an important part of the process. One should put forth one's own conception in order to learn how it is wrong. So Maharaj Rahugana, that's the mood that he's asking, he's speaking this verse. He said, this is my thinking, but it is anumanya. It is according to my thinking. So you please give me the correct understanding. You explain to me. So we should understand now how it is that this Srila Prabhupada is translated in the beginning. You have said, I am not fatigued from labor. So this was a inference. Actually what happened is that when Maharaj Rahugana was speaking sarcastically to Jadabharat, he used the word Uru Parishrantaha, very difficult labor. Jadabharat was just starting to carry the palanquin. They had just recruited him. They saw he was very young and strong and very suitable. He was not speaking anything. He appeared to be a deaf and dumb person. They figured, oh, this is a perfect person for carrying the palanquin. So they engaged him as one of the carriers. So they began to carry the palanquin. He very dutifully accepted the king's order that he carry the palanquin. But when he was walking, he didn't want to step on any ant. He didn't want to step on the ants in the path. So as a result, he was stopping and starting. And therefore, the palanquin was shaking. So Maharaj Rahugana, he's a king. Business of a king is to chastise and correct the servants. So initially he spoke sarcastically, oh, you're very, very tired from carrying for so long. Actually, he just started carrying. Uru Parishranta. This is over-exaggeration. This is sarcasm. You say something that sarcasm means you're saying something that's not actually a fact, because someone is appearing to be like that. So he was not at all tired. He hadn't carried for a long time. So Rahugana is saying, yes, yes, you must be very tired from having carried for a long time. You must be, and also you're very old, even though he was very young. And you're very thin. Actually, he was very stout and strong. So in this way, he was saying sarcastic words. So But then when Maharaj Rahugana chastised him strongly, and then Jatabharat objected. So in effect, Jatabharat said, actually, I'm not fatigued. I'm not old. I'm not young either. Because I am spirit soul. And the spirit soul is not fatigued. The spirit soul is neither old nor young. Spirit soul is neither stout nor thin. So in effect, Jatabharat said, was saying like that, that I am not fatigued from labor. So we hear those words from Jatabharat. Jatabharat said, this is his response to the sarcastic accusations and chastisement of Maharaj Rahugana. My dear king and hero, whatever you have spoken sarcastically is certainly true, although these are not simply words of chastisement, for the body is the carrier. The load carried by the body does not belong to me, for I am the spirit soul. There is no contradiction in your statements because I am different from the body. I am not the carrier of the palanquin. The body is the carrier. Certainly, as you have hinted, I have not labored carrying the palanquin, for I am detached from the body. Etc. Fatness, thinness, bodily and mental distress, thirst, hunger, fear, disagreement, desires for material happiness, old age, sleep, attachment for material possessions, anger, lamentation, illusion, and identification of the body with the self are all transformations of the material covering of the spirit soul. A person absorbed in the material bodily conception is affected by these things, but I am free from all bodily conceptions. Consequently, I am neither fat nor skinny nor anything else you have mentioned. So he's giving the difference here between he's explaining. So Maharaj Rahugana is hearing these words and he's objecting because it's sounds to him like Mayavad philosophy. There's some similarities between Mayavad philosophy and Vaishnava philosophy. So at certain times, Vaishnavas, they may speak something which also may be spoken by a Mayavadi. It's not that there's no similarity between the two philosophies. So you can go through Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada's purports, and you can pick out many whole paragraphs which appear to be just straight Mayavad philosophy. Right? Isn't it a fact? So, or at least something that a Mayavadi might say. Same thing. So, Maharaj Rahugana has a doubt. Here, Jatabharat is saying, says I'm not affected by anything. I'm actually not affected by all these things. So Maharaj Rahugana has a doubt. Is he actually saying that the material world is false? He's thinking like that. Is he saying that the material world is false? So So he's inquiring. He's inquiring submissively. Please explain. Although he says, You have said, this is the translation again, you have said, I am not fatigued from labor. Although the soul is different from the body, there is fatigue because of bodily labor, and it appears to be the fatigue of the soul. When you are carrying the palanquin, there is certainly labor for the soul. This is my conjecture. So, Jadabharat may be saying, I'm not fatigued from carrying the palanquin. So is it because the palanquin doesn't exist? Or is it because he's not identifying with his body? So this is the doubt that Maharaj Rahugana had. So he's speaking. And Jadabharat he will respond in due course. Jadabharat will respond and explain Vaishnava philosophy, the Vaishnava philosophy of detachment. Actually, one, just like this, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the dream in the purport. One may have a very horrible dream, and one is sleeping, one sees this dream, one feels some pain, one is suffering. But if, when one wakes up, one understands that he was dreaming, and the pain doesn't exist anymore. So, because he understands, when one wakes up, one understands that it was just a dream. Therefore, he realizes that the pain was unreal. The pain no longer affects him. So, similarly, someone in the material world, if he's attached to his body, then if something happens to the body, like carrying a palanquin, laboring very hard to carry a palanquin, then he'll feel exhausted. The soul will actually experience the feeling of exhaustion coming from the senses. But that's like a dreaming state. Attachment. If one is in conditioned life, one is attached to his material condition, then one will, then one is thinking, identifying the body with the self. So something that happens to the body, then it feels it happening to him. Just like one car runs into another car, and the owner of the car jumps out and says, "You hit me!" No. You hit the car only. It was only the car that was damaged. But he's attached to the car, so he's feeling the pain of the car being smashed by the other car. Similarly, someone hits me over the head or punches me. I'm attached to the body, then I'm going to become... Abhiman will come. Ah, this person is offending me. But it's not me. It's simply the body. So the Mayavadis, they say, actually, this material world doesn't exist. It's just all illusion. But the Vaishnavas, they say, A water pot is made of earth. And if you have some earth, you can't carry water with a pile of earth. If you try to carry water with a pile of earth, you'll simply have mud. But if you make the mud into a pot, bake it in the sun, then you can carry water. So it's not that the material world is false. It's not that everything is, it's not that the water pot is only earth. It's something more than earth. It's been made into a shape. It's taken on another meaning. And it has reality, because you can bring water with it. It has reality. But what's false is the identification. I identify with the body. This is me. That's what's false. Not that the body is false. It's that I'm thinking that I'm the body. That's what's the falseness. So this answer will come. That's the clarification that Jadabharat will offer to this question. So, attachment and detachment, this is the key. If one is attached to the material world, something in the material world, then one will be affected by material conditions. If one is detached, then he'll not experience the pain of material existence. So, detachment is the key. But what is this detachment? There's different understandings of what is detachment. Someone who's very much attached in the material world, what does he think is what does he understand as the meaning of detachment? Detachment means, oh, I should take sannyas. I should go to the Himalayan mountains and live in a cave and not think about my previous life. Just perform austerities. That is one understanding of detachment. And someone who has that understanding of the detachment, he may think, oh, but what about my parents? My parents are old and they're dependent upon me. What will they do if I go to the Himalayas? They took so much care to raise me, maintain me, educate me. They took so much trouble for me. How can I abandon them in their old age? So, how can I give up my family life? So many people are dependent upon me. So this is one understanding of detachment. There's another understanding of detachment. Is anyone here from Bihar? Devotee from Bihar? So, from what I understand is that there's a river in Bihar called the Falgu River. That river exists. Falgu River, it looks like it's dry. Looks like a dry riverbed. But if you go and you dig underneath, then you see there's water flowing underneath. So it appears to be a dry river, but it's actually a moving river. So this is some people, they think vairagya means to appear to be detached. Just make a show of being detached. Somehow they tried to be, they're full of material desires. And they try to make arrangements for happiness in the material world. But it all fails. Pocha, right? Their attempts at material enjoyment just become rotten. So they think, yes, so now I am Vairagi. And they make a show of being Vairagi. And in that way they try to get charity from the householders and live their life in that way. So this is Falgu Vairagya. This is not real Vairagya. Just like that Falgu river. Actually, the material desires are flowing. But externally, I'm sitting like a yogi with my hat for bhiksha, collecting bhiksha. So this is another understanding of Vairagya. And then there's one more understanding of Vairagya. It's described that there's one group of Buddhists. They have this concept of Vairagya, that you take a big meal and you become very strong, a lot of energy from taking nice food. Then you go to a mountain cave and there's a big boulder blocking that, and you put it with your strength, you move the boulder to block the entrance of the cave and you're inside. And then you sit down and you do your Buddhist meditation and you don't eat. So you don't eat and you don't eat, and then eventually you become so weak that you can't move the boulder. And you can't move the boulder, so there's nothing you can do. You die. You have to die. So is this Vairagya? No, it is suicide. So these are different understandings of Vairagya. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had a very, very special understanding of Vairagya. He said, stay where you are and chant Hare Krishna. Right? That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's understanding of Vairagya. Become austerity is eagerness to hear from Vaishnavas. Regardless of your grihe bhavaneti take sarahal hariboli dake. So whatever your situation, whether you're in grihastha ashram or you're tyagi, whatever, just chant Hare Krishna. And this is the austerity. This is true Vairagya. This is valuable Vairagya. This is Vairagya designed for the present day and age. So, one very nice song by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur about Vairagya. It's a very long song, but some verses are very relevant in this connection. The song is Dushtamana. Dushtamana tumi kishera Vaishnava. We'll start from text number 12. Yata yogya bhoga nahita taroga anasakta se kiyara kahaba asakti rohita sambandha sahita vishaya samoha sakali madhava. So he's saying, one is indeed detached, vairagya. Okay, he's defining vairagya here. One is indeed detached, who moderately partakes of worldly things that are deemed necessary for living in devotional service. Moderately partakes of worldly things that are deemed necessary for living in devotional service. Yata yogya bhoga nahi tata roga anasakta se kiyara kahaba. A devotee acting in that manner does not fall prey to the disease of material infatuation. Thus, devoid of selfish attachment and endowed with the ability to see things in relation to the Lord, all sense objects are then directly perceived as being Lord Madhava himself. Vishaya samoha, sakali Madhava. Everything is Madhava. You're seeing everything is Madhava. So that's actual detachment. Se yukta vairagya tahato saubhagya tahai jore te harir vaibhava kirtane jahar pratishta sambhar tahar sampati kevala kaitavam. Se yukta vairagya tahato saubhagya. This is the standard of befitting renunciation. Say yukta vairagya. This is yukta vairagya. This is befitting. Tahasto saubhagya. This is befitting renunciation. And one who realizes this is most fortunate indeed. Everything involved in such a devotee's life represents Lord Hari's personal spiritual opulence, as manifest in the world of matter. On the other hand, one who engages in chanting the Lord's name with hopes of enhancing his own material reputation finds that all his activities and paraphernalia represent only the riches of hypocrisy. Kirtane jahar pratishta sambhar. So if one who does kirtana for pratishta, tahar sampati kevala kaitava. What is the benefit? What is the result of that? It's simply cheating. And sampati is there, some opulence, some results is there, but it's simply the opulence of cheating. Like you steal some money and you have enjoy. That is simply the same kind of opulence is there. Text 14. Vishaya mumukshu bhogera bubhukshu duye tajo mana duya vaishnava krishner sambandha aprakrita skanda kabuna hetaha jorera sambhava. Vishaya mumukshu bhogera bubhukshu. So this vishaya mumuksha, this desire to be relieved from vishaya, from the contact with the, from the objects of the senses, this is, well, let me just read the translation. Oh mine, please reject the company of two types of persons. So there's two types of persons are being listed. Vishaya mumuksha, someone who is interested in liberation from vishaya, and bhogera bubukshu, someone who is wanting to engage in bhoga, in enjoyment. These two types of persons, duye tyajo mana duye avaishnava. Okay, they're both a Vaishnava. And we should give up the association of both. Both kinds of people. Both of these are equally non-devotees. The things that are used in relation to Lord Krishna, Krishnera Sambandha, Aprakrita Skanda. The things that are used in relation to Lord Krishna are objects belonging directly to the transcendental realm, Aprakrita Skanda. And thus, having nothing to do with matter, they cannot be either owned or forsaken by persons interested in mundane enjoyment or renunciation. So we can neither own something of the material world, nor can we renounce it. We don't have qualification to either own something in this material world or renounce it. If you can't own something, how can you renounce it? Kabu nahi taha jarara sambhav. This is to think either one is simply a manifestation of material energy. Jarara sambhava. Mayavadi jana krishne taramana mukta abhimane senande vaishnava vaishnaver das tava bhakti ash keno vada kicho nirjana ahavam. Mayavadi jana krishne taramana mukta abhimane senande vaishnava. An impersonal philosopher is opposed to thinking of Krishna as an object of devotion. And thus, being puffed up with the false pride of imaginary liberation, he dares to criticize the true devotees of the Lord. Mukta abhimane se ninde vaishnava. So because he doesn't want to worship Krishna, therefore, he commits offenses. Because he's puffed up, he commits offenses to the Vaishnavas. O mind, because this is a prayer, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is addressing this to his mind. He says, O mind, you are the servant of the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavera das tava bhakti ash. This is your, O mind, you are the servant of the Vaishnavas. And you should always hope for attaining devotion. You, Tava Bhakti Ash, you should desire bhakti. Why then do you make such a loud commotion by calling to me and trying to prove the supposed supremacy of your practice of solitary worship? So, Bhaktisiddhanta is saying that his mind is telling him, just go somewhere alone, be renounced, worship Krishna in solitude, don't have anything to do with this material world. Bhaktisiddhanta just says his mind is telling him like this. But he says, this is just a loud commotion. My mind is just making a loud commotion, some noise. Making a disturbance. Why are you trying to prove the supremacy of your practice of solitary worship? He says, no. He says, if I do that, then I'll simply become a Falgu Vairagi. And that's what the next verse is about. Jai Falgu Vairagi ko he nije tyagi se na pare kabhu hoite Vaishnava hori parachari nirjana tabari labhiya ki phala Falgu se vaibhava. Jai Falgu Vairagi ko he nije tyagi se na pare kabhu hoite Vaishnava. One who falsely gives up things that could actually be used in the Lord's service proudly calls himself a renunciate. But unfortunately, he can never become a Vaishnava by such an attitude. Se na pare, kabu hoite Vaishnava. It's not possible. He cannot become a Vaishnava. Hari parachari nirjanata bari labhya ki phala phagu se vaibhava. Abandoning his servitorship to the lotus feet of Lord Hari and resigning himself to his solitary home, whatever is gained by that exercise can only be the worthless treasure of deception. You're just cheating yourself. You're just deceiving yourself that you can go to your, just hide yourself in your room and be renounced from the world. It's not possible. You're just cheating yourself and cheating others. Brajabasi gana pracharaka dhana pratishta bhikshuka tara naheshava prana chetar sehetu prachar pratishta sahina krishna gatasava. Brajabasi gana pracharaka dhana. So this prachar, this preaching, this is, whose dhan is this? Whose wealth is preaching? It's the Brajabasis. Brajabasi gan pracharaka dhan. Pratishtha bhikshuka tara naheshava. The most valuable treasures amongst the Lord's preachers are the eternal personalities residing in Brajadham. They never occupy themselves with begging for worthless material reputation, which is cherished only by the living dead. Prana ache tar se he tu prachar. Someone who has life, he preaches. So he's preaching to his mind. Bhakti Siddhanta is preaching to his mind. Don't think you can hide yourself in your room. Go out and preach. This is the wealth of the Brajabasis. This is life. This is real life. Give up this. The material. The Brajabasis are truly infused with life, and therefore they preach in order to give life to the walking corpses of the mundane world. It's all walking corpses. So we have to give them life. Everyone's just walking around as if they're in a dream, as if dead. We have to give them life. And that is what preaching is about. Therefore, they preach in order to give life to the walking corpses of the mundane world. All the songs that the Brajabasis sing about the glories of the Lord Krishna are devoid of any tinge of desire for fame. Preaching to his mind. Don't try to be famous. Just try to preach. Shri Dayata Dasa Kirtane Te Asha Koro Chaikshware Hari Nama Rava Kirtana Prabhave Smarana Swabhave Sekale Bhajana Nirjana Sambhava. Shri Dayata Das. Who's that? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That's, he referred to himself as Sri Dayata Das because that was his, one of his names, right? What is that? I forget the full. Huh? Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Dayata Das. That was one of the names he received. So, Kirtanete Ash. So you should have a desire to do kirtan. Don't have a desire to do solitary bhajan. Have a desire for kirtan. Koro Ukchaik Swade Hari Nama Rava. This humble servant of Radha and her beloved Krishna. So he's referring to himself as Dayata Das. Servant of Srimati Radharani. This and Krishna. This humble servant of Radha and her beloved Krishna always hopes for kirtan. And he begs all to loudly sing the names of Lord Hari. The transcendental power of congregational chanting automatically awakens remembrance of the Lord and his divine pastimes in relation to one's own eternal spiritual form. Only at that time does it become possible to go off to a solitary place and engage in the confidential worship of their lordships. So, kirtana prabhave, smarana swabhave. So when you become absorbed in remembering the pastimes of the Lord, se kale bhajana nirjana sambhava, then it's possible to do at that time. When you're actually absorbed in thinking of the Supreme Lord, then at that time, then you can do nirjana bhajana. Srila Prabhupada also talked about how he wanted his disciples to take over and manage the worldwide mission, carry it on very nicely so that he could also do nirjan bhajan. There's so much to do. So he's not saying that when you become qualified, then you must. He's not saying like that. Srila Prabhupada was very qualified to do nirjan bhajan. Says, but if you want to do nirjan bhajan, first you become qualified, then you can do if you want. But the real business is to preach. That's what the Brajavasis do, and they're the topmost example. They preach and save the conditioned souls. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, comments from the illustrious Vaishnavas? There's one question here. Where's the microphone?
Hare Krishna.
Speak slowly and clearly.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, accept my humble obeisances to your lotus feet. My question is, giving away, renunciation of the result of our activities is also important, like leaving the renounced order of life. Giving away, not expecting the results of our activities. But perform our responsibilities as they come in our life. It is also important. It is also one form of renunciation.
Not hearing. Can someone explain? Giving up result of activity, is that also renunciation? Yes.
Activities which are part of our responsibilities.
Huh?
Activities which are part of our responsibilities. If one is grihastha, he has to perform certain activities.
Yes.
But if I am going about some professional activities, means for job, but I am not getting appreciation, which is expectation. So I am not caring about any appreciation, but I am just performing my responsibilities. Because earning bread and butter, I would personally ask it to you.
I didn't catch everything. No? Go. I can't hear you either. There was another part to his question? He was at. I could.
Huh?
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I am audible, no? Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. See, we know the difference between individual souls and super soul. But I want to know whether there is any difference between one individual and other individual souls. Or they are uniform.
Difference in what sense? I mean, I'm different from you. I'm not the same as you. I'm conscious of this body. You're conscious of that body. So I'm one. Just like there's a big fire burning. So many sparks may be coming out of the fire. So there are separate sparks. But they're all coming from the same fire. And their quality is the same. One spark quality is the same as another spark. It's just a little piece of wood that's coming out of the fire, and it's burning for a few minutes, then it becomes ash. So the quality is the same, but it's different. But every soul, every jiva is exactly the same in quality.
Is there any difference between my soul and your soul?
Yes, definitely.
This is what I wanted to
know. But not difference in, is just like two different sparks from the flame. You can examine them, and the quality is the same, but they're different. This one spark is one spark, another spark is another spark. They have separate existence, but their quality is the same. So it's not that there's a difference in quality between my soul and your soul.
Prabhu, when we say such and such a person is an elevated soul, what does it mean?
Individual soul.
Yeah.
Elevated soul. Elevated soul simply means that the illusion of the material world has come down to some degree. So his understanding, the soul's understanding of his real nature, is elevated. That the illusion is just like there's like a covering, like a shroud around the soul. So it's partially removed or fully removed. That's when you say elevated, that's what it means.
That means between one elevated soul and another elevated soul, absolutely there is no difference. Between one elevated soul and another elevated soul, there is no difference.
Well, elevated is a subjective. It's a subjective consideration, because you may say someone's an elevated soul if they have some understanding that they're not their body. But that doesn't mean that they have complete understanding that they're not their body. So that is someone who's liberated. If someone is liberated completely, then he has no attachment to the material world at all. So you can say he's a very elevated soul or whatever. It's a subjective thing. But someone is fully elevated, fully realized, then there's no covering at all. Who's next? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. In a description of various characters of devotees in Bhagavatam, like Prahlad Maharaj, Jad Bharat, all the characters are given in Bhagavatam of the devotees, right? In Bhagavatam, the description of the character of devotees is given.
Description of devotees
is given.
Okay.
But we cannot copy them or imitate them. Like Jada Bharat was being taken to Kali for sacrifice, and he was still, going along with them till the chopper came near to his head. So we cannot follow any of such character in our real life. Then what purpose does it serve for us if we read such incidents?
Why can't you follow? Why can't you be like that? What is the difficulty? Are you your body? Are you your body or are you soul?
I'm soul.
So you have that much realization. Why not some more?
For example, we are told we not to copy Rupa Goswami. He was staying from one tree to another tree. Like that, we are not supposed to imitate them. So all the characters, what we read, is just for reading purpose. We cannot copy them. Like even for this, in case of Prabhupada, he was living in Parnakutir, wherever he goes, in Mayapur and other places. But we are not living in Parnakutir. We are not able to imitate him, copy him. So all the elevated characters of devotees are only for our listening purpose. We cannot copy in today's time at least. So what does the other purpose it serves? It is not giving us inspiration also. So it is just like...
Then maybe we should close down the class. If it's only for listening and not for following, maybe we should. What is the point of the Bhagavatam class? Yes, yes. I might as well just come and tell stories and we can talk, Hari, you know, Gramya Katha here. Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada wants us to read the Bhagavatam and absorb the Bhagavatam and become, you know, and become, you know, enter into Bhagavatam civilization, culture. What is the difficulty? Don't become discouraged. Don't sell yourself short, as we say in America. Don't think that you can't do it. Keep reading the Bhagavatam. And don't just think that it's just some nice stories for our entertainment. So many entertaining books are there. Bhagavatam is Krishna Tulya. It's directly Krishna. It's for us. The Vaishnavas, they brought this Bhagavatam to us. Why would Srila Prabhupada spend so much time just translating it if he didn't mean for us to follow it? And he just said, oh yeah, you just don't worry about the books, you just chant all day. Never said that. You chant and you read. Because it's something to be done. There's something to be done. It's by reading, then you should develop a desire to do. I should be like that. Of course, Jadabharat, he was, you know, he's definitely a special personality. He didn't have a material body. Because of his previous birth, he was qualified, he had a spiritual body. But still, the story is given by Shukadeva Goswami because he wants us to emulate. So, don't sell yourself short. You're capable. Yes, Jagannath Mahaprabhu.
Hare Krishna. I just read this morning. This morning, Jiva Goswami was giving some quotation in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He was saying that in the beginning, we don't try for renunciation. We try for attachment. For devotion to Krishna. But in the advanced stage, detachment will come. Like Raghunath Das Goswami, he's just eating a little buttermilk, like that, or eating rice that he washed, you know, just a palmful. So he didn't try for it in the beginning. But when the advanced state comes, you can be very, very detached, like Jadbharata. You will. In the advanced state. In the advanced state. So, in the beginning state, you don't copy them. You don't imitate them. You follow the process of Bhakti Yoga. And here, you develop attachment for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And all these things will come into you. And when you're in the advanced state, it will come out of you. You will just do it. You will do it. But not in the beginning state. Because that will be Falgu. That will be Falgu. And you'll be a pretender. You'll just be making a show like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's song. You'll just make a show. But those who are really advanced, like Haridas Thakur, he's doing it. You cannot imitate it. You cannot. But it will come up in you. Okay?
Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.